But okay, I just press record. So first I have to make this statement to you so you know what I'm doing. So the key objective of this interview is to serve as a research tool to document memories of the American chestnut in the Southern Appalachian region. Information obtained in these interviews will be retained and made available for further use in efforts to promote a better understanding of the role of the American chestnut in Appalachian culture. So then I have to ask, have you signed the participant identification and release agreements?
Yes, I have.
Great. All right, so now we're ready to roll. If you just start, just tell me your name, when you were born, how old you are, and where you grew up.
I'm James Eulis Walker, born June 27, 1923. I grew up about 5 miles from where I lived here. Was born in Gallup. When I was 6 months old, we moved to the Brasher Place, and we lived on the Brasher Place 11 years, and that's when we would go over on the mountain and pick up chestnuts when we was kids, mostly on Sunday afternoon, for we worked in the fields the other time during the week. But we'd go over and maybe pick up a half a bushel, and then Sunday afternoon or during the week, we'd shell them out of the burrs, and we kept them, and then we would boil most of them, but sometimes we'd roast them on the fireplace, and they were real good. We always enjoyed it. Of course, back then, anything was good to us young people that was hungry. All right, can you stop me a minute?
Sure.
Okay, yeah. Well, the early 30s were the chestnut trees began to die out here, and there was very few of them left. 1940, my dad and I cut chestnut trees on the Brasher Place down here for fence posts. We cut them and hauled them out in a wagon and split them up, and I guess we cut 500 or 600. Some of the old posts may still be around here somewhere. And
500 to 600 chestnut trees?
Posts.
Oh.
We split them out.
Okay.
Split them
Whoa,
out.
Y'all are busy.
Yeah, well, there's big trees. They're 50 and 60 feet tall, you see. And some of them was 4.5 to 5 feet in diameter. And we had a handsaw that we cut them with. We didn't have no chainsaw. My dad pulled one side and I pulled the other. And we cut them. And then we'd cut them in about 6 foot lengths and we'd load them on a wagon, probably 2 or 3, and then haul them out and we'd split them up. And the Brashers got some to build fences with. And his daughter, Leona Copeland, that lived next door on the Brasher Place here, they got some.
Okay. Well, do you remember anything your dad or mom or any of your older relatives told you about chestnuts or any specific stories memories that they would have had?
Well, my dad used to say there used to be a lot more chestnut trees than were when I was a kid. They'd already begin to die out then. But they was several large trees on the mountain, on Red Mountain over here, that's what they call us over here, when we was kids. But the time I was 15 or 16 years old, it was all gone, just about. All right.
Yeah, that's another thing I was going to ask about. Like, were there certain places where a lot of chestnuts would grow?
Yeah, there was certain places that there would be a chestnut grove there, maybe 10 or 12, 15 chestnut trees there. And there were some chinky pins, too. But they grew in a different place from where the chestnut did. They grew in a holler right over here across the creek from where I live now, up on the mountain. And we used to get the chinky pins too. They was little nuts. All right.
Did the chestnuts mostly grow up on the ridge?
Yeah, up on the side of the mountain. Mm-hmm. It was a what we call a bluff. It was rock along and then up put a good piece. Well, they was level up there. People used to farm some of it, and then some of it had the chestnut trees there. And
I've heard some people say that, like, they remember when their parents would clear a plot of land
yeah.
to plant, they would clear all the trees except for the chestnuts.
Well.
Did you ever experience anything like that?
Well, I don't remember that.
Okay.
It probably happened, though, for they didn't want to cut down the chestnut trees, for they was the important food for them.
Yeah.
They like nuts and things to us, and we really enjoy it.
What about, some people I've talked to, they remembered people would gather up enough chestnuts to trade or sell.
Well,
people do that around here?
They used to trade them to the peddlers. There used to be peddlers come through here on a bus. They had everything, and they'd buy chickens and everything. And I think you could trade them chestnuts for about 25 cents a pound, I think, or something, for whatever you needed, coffee or sugar and everything like that.
That's really interesting. So the peddler, what was the story with the peddlers?
It was a rolling grocery store, you know, on wheels. And he had just about anything you wanted. And if you had chickens to sell, he'd buy you chickens. If you had butter to sell, he'd give you, I think, 10 cents a pound for the butter. He put it all in a big old container there. I don't know what he done with it, but anyway, they molded it and sold it again, I guess.
That's so interesting. Was there like one peddler who would come around a lot, or was it always just different people coming through?
Well, it used to be two peddlers come through. One come on Tuesday, I think, and one come on Thursday. So if we didn't get our goods on Tuesday, we'd catch one on Thursday.
That's really interesting. I've not heard anybody talk about peddlers like that. That sounds really interesting. Do you yourself remember ever gathering up chestnuts to trade to peddlers? Or?
Well, no, we usually just ate them. Kept them and ate them ourselves. But.
So you already kind of said this before, but you said you did used to eat chestnuts, and I've been asking people too, do you remember how the chestnuts were prepared? You said you boiled them or you roasted them, but did you ever cook them? Did your mom or anybody ever cook them up any different way?
Not that I know of. We usually, after supper maybe, we had a wood stove, and we'd put a pot on that with chestnuts in it, and we'd boil it about 30 minutes, and then we'd eat it. And then we had popcorn poppers. I think we'd put them chestnuts in there and put them over the coals of the fire and roast them like that. I've heard some people say they'd put them in the hot ashes, let them sit there for a while and eat them, but we didn't do that.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. I've never heard people talk about the popcorn popper or the ashes, so that's good to hear. Okay, what about, did you ever, was there any livestock or wildlife that you know of that would eat chestnuts around here?
Yeah, cows would eat them. Of course, they had trouble getting them out of the burrs sometimes, I think, but they would eat chestnuts. Deer will eat chestnuts too, but we didn't have any deer when I was a kid here. But they come in, we got plenty of deer around here now, but we didn't have any when I was a kid.
Why?
I reckon to kill them all out before I got big enough to hunt, I guess.
Yeah, I've heard people say that, like, during those depression years in the 20s and 30s, that there was very few deer because so many people.
Well, people hunted anything they could to eat then. Mm-hmm. Rabbits, squirrels, we ate them. We used to go squirrel hunt, my dad did.
Yeah, I've heard some people tell stories about squirrel hunting, and I've heard some people say that squirrels like to, they would store up a bunch of nuts inside old chestnut trees.
Yeah, they would, squirrels would take chestnuts and acorns and things, and they'd put them in a hollow tree somewhere, and then they'd go back and get them in the wintertime when they needed them.
Do you remember, was any part of the house that you grew up in or any, like, buildings on your property, were they made out of chestnut or?
No, the only thing I remember they used were fence posts. They'd last 25 or 30 years. And that was something good then. If you put a pine pole up, it'd last maybe 2 years. An oak would last probably 2 years, but chestnut, they'd last about 20 years. And I may still have an old chestnut post down here. We'll check and see before I leave.
Okay, that sounds great. what about any tools or any other, like, household items? Were there anything like that would have been made out of chestnut?
I think they used to make handles, hammer handles and axe handles maybe out of them. But we usually made them out of white oak ourselves. My dad, he made his own handle. Everything.
Did y'all saw up those trees yourself, or did you take them to a sawmill, or?
Well, if he's gonna make a axe handle, it had to be about 32 inches long. We'd cut it about 32 inches long, we'd split it out, and then he'd work it down to the handle. Take a drawing knife and work it down. And he had a rasp, but he could cut it on down. And when he got it down nearly where he wanted, he'd take a piece of glass, and it would smooth it and make it slick like a handle should be.
Piece of glass?
Yeah. Wow. We'd break a window glass or get an old one, and you could just pull it on that, and he'd just roll up just like shavings on it. Just
like sandpaper?
Almost. Yeah, like kind of like you sharpening a pencil, there'd be shavings on it.
Huh. Wow. What about tan it? Did you ever see anybody use chestnut bark to tan leather? Or anything like that?
No, I didn't.
People said some people have said that they remember chestnut bark being really good for tanning leather, and that tanneries would want chestnut bark a bunch. Were there any tanneries around here?
Not that I know of.
What about, were there any games that you would play that with chestnuts?
Not that I know of.
What about, were there any like old sayings or songs or stories about chestnut, or that involved chestnut? Maybe they weren't just about chestnut, but chestnut candy.
I don't remember any old stories or songs or anything about chestnut trees.
Were there any like holiday celebrations or gatherings where you would use chestnut or something? Halloween? You don't have to whisper. That's okay.
Tim and a bad dun city, I'm sure they probably served it.
Well, during Christmas time, we used to go serenading. Have you ever heard of that? We'd dress up and go. And we'd go in, and people, like, sometimes they'd feed us chestnuts, sometimes popcorn, sometimes peanuts, whatever. And then we'd go dumb sitting. We'd just go, the whole family, a whole half community would go, and we'd go in a fellow's house, sit down, never say a word. Just sit there for maybe 30, 40 minutes, and then get up and leave. They call it dumb sitting.
I've never heard of that.
And let's see, they used to have something they call a dumb bull. They had a can, and they'd put a string on it, and you take a piece of beeswax, and boy, it would make a racket like a bull or something. And they'd go to people's houses and do that. Wake them up.
That was what y'all did for fun back then, yeah.
Well, I guess we'd be as mean as the rest of them. We'd done anything we'd get by with, as long as our dead mother didn't find out about it. We did, we got a tanning, a good tanning. They believed in that tanning.
People play with chestnut burrs or anything, like have chestnut fights, or do you remember anything like that? Do you remember getting stuck with a burr ever?
Yeah, I've been stuck with, we went barefooted most of the time. We got one pair of shoes a year, as in the wintertime. But a lot of times we'd go on the mountain, we'd be barefooted, we'd have to be careful, we'd get them burrs in our feet. And we'd pick them out. We didn't have no gloves. We'd take a hammer and crack them out and get them like that. Seemed like we'd store them in a fruit jar to preserve them till we got ready to eat them. Seemed like that's where we'd store them.
Yeah, that was one of my questions. How did you gather them and how did you store them? So that's interesting. Well, do you think that the chestnut's like an important symbol of the way life used to be around here?
Sure, sure.
Why is that?
Well, when I was growing up, there was chestnut trees here, but they're not here anymore. So that's the heritage that is gone until we get some trees that'll live without the black. Mm-hmm. I bought some from a nursery, and they said it was about 99% blight free. I don't know whether they are or not.
Were they American chestnut?
Yeah, you can buy American chestnut. But Chinese chestnuts, they've they're bright free, I think. They don't bother them, I don't think.
That's right, that's right. So do you remember hearing about the blight, and what do you remember hearing about the blight?
Well, all I remember, my dad would say, well, we won't have no chestnuts this year. All the trees is dying over there. So we knew right then that we wouldn't get to any chestnuts. And that's about all I remember about. That's a long time ago, you see. I'm 85 years old. I was 7 or 8, 10 years old when I was doing that.
Do you remember at all what the mountain would look like before the chestnut got blighted? Like what those chestnut trees would look like when they were blooming on the...
Oh, yeah. They kind of got a white bloom runs out on a little stem like that. And then the burrs would come on each limb there. And most of the time, the burrs had 3 to 4 chestnuts inside them. I don't know whether they all had that many or not, but that's what we used to figure we'd get about 2 or 3 to 4 chestnuts out of each burrow. I think we used to burn them burrows. They'd burn pretty good in the fireplace, so we'd burn them as help heat the house.
I've not heard anybody say that, so that's interesting to hear.
Well, see, that's part of wood, I guess, that the burrs is. And they'd burn good. And those chestnuts, they'd burn too. They got oil in them that if you put them in there, they'll blaze up.
Some people would say that in some places, 1 in every 4 trees would have been a chestnut. Do you think that chestnuts grew that thick around here?
No, no. They was about... It was 2 different places down here on the Brasher place. I don't remember any over here on this... in front of where we live. But down there, pretty close to the far end of the Brasher place down there, best I remember, there was 10 or 12 trees there. And then up a little further on the bluff there, there was 4 or 5 trees. That's the way I remember it now. Of course, at one time, there was probably a lot more than that. For when I was a kid, we'd go over there and we'd see the chestnut logs laying there where they'd different places. Squirrels used to eat them things too.
So you kind of have been hitting. So about what year would the blight have come through?
I'd say about 1930 or 31, somewhere along in there. I think that's about that.
Do you remember hearing? You said you remember your dad telling you about it, do you remember anybody else talking about the blight, and how did people feel? Were they afraid? Were they sad, but it's not that big a deal? Well, how did people feel?
Well, people didn't know what was happening. The trees, just certain trees are dying, and they didn't know what was causing it. But then the county agent or somebody told them it was a blight that would probably kill them. We had the county agents that would come out and check them out, I think. But we didn't know what was killing them until somebody come out and told us.
Do you think people were afraid or not really that scared? Or?
No, I don't think they were afraid, but I guess it worried the people, for people enjoyed the chestnuts, and they didn't know what was happening to it.
Do you think, were there very many people around here that that the loss of the chestnut would have affected their, would have had like a negative economic impact?
Well, I wouldn't think so. There wasn't that many people that gathered the chestnuts. Of course, we was all in the same boat. We didn't have anything. We raised what we eat, everything like that, but nobody had any money, hardly.
Why were there only some people that would gather chestnuts?
Well, they wasn't, chestnut trees wasn't everywhere. These 2 patches over here is the only 2 that I ever knew about. Of course, I'm sure there was other places, plenty of them, I'm sure. And I think they used to grow back in the ridges. I call ridges off the mountain. There used to be a few back there. I think on the Allen Copeland place back there, he had a couple. He might have planted the trees. I don't know. But I think I remember he had some back there in his field, kind of. He was taking care of them, I think.
Could you pick chestnuts that were on somebody else's property, or would you have to ask that person?
Well, back then it didn't make much difference. Back then, if somebody come across, we had a watermelon patch, and he wanted a watermelon, he usually got it and eat it and went on by his business. Nobody said nothing about it. But
that's kind of surprising.
Well, and if we went across Phillips' watermelon patch, we got one and got out the end and eat it. We didn't mess with the rest of them. And if he come along, he just talked to her. Of course, my dad caught somebody stealing a watermelon one time, and he had his shotgun with him. The fella was eating one when Papa watched him get it. He had two of them, two watermelons. So when he sat down and started eating it, my dad walked up with a shotgun on his shoulder, asked him, so I talked to him. He didn't know the man. Asked him how the watermelon was. Oh, it was good. He ate half of it, and he got up to leave. Dad said, well, if I was put a good woman, won't you just eat that other half? So he sat down and ate it, and then he started leaving. He said, you better get this watermelon. You might want some more watermelon tomorrow. So he made him take the watermelon away.
So it wasn't a big deal. People just shared all that stuff like that. Wow, that's nice. And it's not the way it is today.
No, they steal it from me today. Yeah.
Did anybody try to do anything to stop the blight around here?
Not that I know of. Not that I know of.
So they just knew it was going to be gone, and so that there's nothing they could do?
Well, I think what they thought, they'd probably die out and then come back. But they didn't. I don't know if there's any place in the United States where they have any original chestnut trees or not.
There's a few places here and there, but that... there's trees here and there that for whatever reason have the blight, but they can still produce nuts and are still alive, but there are very few.
Seemed like I was reading somewhere, or heard it up in West Virginia on some mountain up there, that they had found a few original chestnut trees.
I don't doubt it. That's probably true. I have not heard that myself, but that's probably true.
And a fellow told me, I guess 10 or 15 years ago, that down at on Chandler Mountain down yonder, that there was a chestnut tree down there. And he says, this fall, I'll take you and show it to you. But the man died between then, and I never did get to go see it.
Mm-hmm. Do you hear, are there many people that talk about chestnut anymore? Do people ever mention it? Or?
Most of this generation don't know anything about it.
Did you have any kids?
Two boys.
Did you ever tell them about chestnut, or?
I guess I did. I don't remember what I told them. They know what they are. If I used to buy some in the store and we'd boil them. But as far as wild ones, they don't know anything about them. But they do know that I've got some trees growing here on the place. They'll have the place one of these days when we pass on.
Do you know anything about the restoration effort, what people are trying to do to bring the tree back?
Well, I talked to that fellow up in Vermont a little bit about it. And Larry Bryce has talked to him a little bit about it. But other than that, I don't know whether they have any around here, whether they're trying to restore them or not.
I don't know about around here exactly, but... So the Chestnut Foundation, which is based up in Vermont, they're trying to get this tree that's 15/16 American and 1/16 Chinese. And that 1/16 Chinese is the blight resistance. And so for the last 20 years, they've been putting a lot of energy into creating this blight resistant tree. And they're about at the point where they have it. And so they're ready to start producing a bunch of these blight resistant trees and then start thinking about how to get them back across their original landscape, you know? So one question I've been asking people is, do you think it's important to restore the chestnut tree? Do you think that's a good idea?
I would like to see it restored. That's why I bought chestnut trees and trying to restore them here. But
why do you want to see it restored?
Well, I just always enjoyed the chestnut trees, the chestnuts, and I love to boil them and eat them.
Do you think people will use the chestnuts and the tree and the wood and all, or the nuts and the wood and everything? Do you think they'll use them in the same way that they did back when you were a kid?
Well, I don't know about that. It'll take a long time to get enough wood to do anything. Several years. I don't know how long it takes a chestnut tree to grow. I've got one over there. I don't know how old it is, 7 or 8 years old. It might be 30 feet, 25, 30 feet tall. And this is the first year it's got the burrs up on it. I saw it blooming and I just wondered if it's going to happen. I don't know where there'll be any chestnuts in there. I don't know where somebody will pollinate itself or not.
I don't think they'll pollinate themselves. There has to be another tree within an area.
Well, if it's a Chinese chestnut, there's two or three right up and down the road here. There's Chinese chestnut that I know of.
So they can cross with Chinese. So that could happen.
Well, bees will pollinate them.
Mm-hmm. Do you think people... like when you think of the people who live on your street here, on your road, do you think people around here know about chestnut and would help bring it back, or do people not even know about it or care?
I doubt people even care about it, to tell you the truth about it. But they might. They might be somebody that cared about it.
Do you think they don't care about it just because they don't care about trees, or do you think they probably just, if they knew about it, they might be interested?
They might, if they was knew about it, they might be interested in it. But people not like they used to. People used to take interest in stuff and do the best they could to get it to grow back. But now they'll order it from a store or something and think nothing about it.
Would you have any advice or are there any like hopes or fears or concerns you would have about trying to bring back the chestnut tree? Are there any problems you could see them having or just advice you would give them?
Well, I just hope they can get and restore them. I'd like to see that, but I don't know. It takes several years to get enough to plant the whole United States. Of course, don't they have a western chestnut tree that grows out west?
They might. I know that they'll grow. I know that they're not. The American chestnuts doesn't traditionally have native habitat out west, but I know that they will grow out there.
Well, I read or heard on TV1 that some of the western states had chestnuts, as they call them, western chestnuts. I don't know.
I don't know anything about that. Dr. Craddock might know about that, but I've not heard about that. But it could be true. I don't doubt. If you heard on the news, I bet there's some truth to it. Well, that's about all my questions. Are there any other stories you remember about, or even stories that you've heard other people tell you? Your dad told. Ever told you about any cutting down chestnut trees or anything?
Well, no, I don't remember anything else. I don't reckon. So I guess that's about it.
Yeah. Well, that was great. Thank you. Those are some good stories and a lot of new information that I didn't have already.